We here at Flag Time want to send our condolences to the family of Amberchik.
We know that a lot of you listen to Flag Time to kind of get a break from things that are more serious about automotive and service, but we all decided that it was important to take a moment to talk about what happened to Amber and what we in our industry and in car culture can do about that.
We will have a GoFundMe provided in a link if you want to go check it out. Please, if you have just anything to contribute, please, like $1, $5, please help if you can.
What happened to Amber is incomprehensible and unacceptable. Anything that you can do to help the family at this time will be great. In the meantime, we will continue on with our episode of Flag Time.
He literally ended up buying a plane. He bought a 737, a used one.
That's crazy.
But he bought one.
And those are expensive, so he probably made at least $5.
We may have a new host, but we still all hate the flat rate system. This week on Flag Time. Hello, welcome to this episode of Flag Time. Hold on. It's the Automotive Service Podcast. Talks a lot about not that. Got to put that in there.
You're going to see me
today,
cry
motherfuckers.
In this episode.
Well, that's the bonus
prepare
episode.
Prepare your anus.
That's going to be in the bonus episode that's going on at the same time as this one. So, yeah. Both audio and video of the bonus episode are going to be in the places. We're talking this week about what we can do to change the current state of the automotive industry, because there's a lot that's going on that we do not agree with, specifically the flat rate system. To me personally, that sucks ass. Just fucking get rid of that completely.
Anyone that has a problem with like arguing about why flat rate is bad can literally shove a fucking metal rod in their wiener. I don't give a fuck. I don't want to hear it. Literally, if you think that flat rate is the best end all be all system, fuck you.
Somewhere literally, there's some literally dude that's just really into sounding that's just like, what?
Yeah, I was gonna do that anyway.
I'm doing that right now.
Whatever, I'm not kink shaming, but go put a metal rod in your wiener.
Oh god. Truly is remarkable. There seems to be this undying immortal dinosaur attitude in some parts of the automotive industry that's like, well, I do it and it's fine. I don't have any problems making 100 hours a week. What's your problem, you fucking liberal?
Well, not everyone is exactly the same.
Yeah. It's a very elitist
thing.
People
are different.
Very elitist thing. It's like, if you can't make 100 hours a week, you're just bad at it. I'm sure. Whatever. I mean,
it's like, well,
it's
maybe your threshold
no longer
of
relevant.
Slavery is just higher than mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, like, I'm sorry. Like, sometimes diag takes days if you're doing it properly.
Yeah.
It literally does. And so many of these people that are like, oh, you know, I don't have any problems. What's your problem? They're the same guys who just will never, ever do electrical, and they'll never, ever do the fucking deep diag. You know, they give all that shit to their apprentice, or they just let all that shit land on the fucking foreman or what have you.
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre. Like, I live in California, so the labor laws are different where I am. And because in California, if you are going to have someone be an employee and not a contractor, there has to be a at least minimum wage base hourly guaranteed rate. It's not optional. Part of that is because an employee, for example, you can give an employee a schedule. A contractor, no, you don't. That's not how that works. You negotiate that, or the contractor makes their own schedule. If you want someone to show up when you tell them to, when you need them to, that's an employee, and therefore they have to have that hourly wage at the very least. So straight flat rate is no longer a thing in California. So for me, I'm mostly seeing it in the like automotive forums and such that I'm in online when I talk to my good friends in the Flag Time podcast. Like, it makes no sense to me. It is perfectly possible to incentivize employees to be productive and to be efficient without ruining their fucking lives and turning their job into a stress nightmare. Why are we putting people that work on equipment that people's lives depend on in the position of deciding, am I going to do this right or am I going to fuck my paycheck for the week?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, the stress of, you know, not having hours is supposed to motivate you to work harder.
Oh, so. Yes. No. So, yeah.
That's like, what you got to do. You just got to work harder. Sorry.
Dealerships use your survival instinct against you as, like, the excuse to motivate you. It's like, oh, yeah, this guy's not going to let himself starve. He'll do all the work that we're going to underpay him for all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, I haven't had a full paycheck in 10 months.
How is that legal?
How is that okay? And also, it makes no sense to me.
It's corporations like, moment.
Seriously, in my situation, I love where I work. I love the people that I work with, and I love my job. I am straight hourly. Like I am not flat rate.
That's why
I flag so that well. But also, wait for it. I flag though. Because still, it's important to keep track of work and stats for the rooftops, and it's important information for my manager and, like, for warranty stuff. Obviously, the time needs to be there and all that.
Right, yeah.
Like, I am still disgustingly motivated to try my damnedest to get to a decent amount of hours every week, even though it doesn't... I'll get paid the same whether I flag 60 hours in the week in a week or 20. Doesn't matter. I will make the same hourly rate.
I'll get paid.
You don't get a bonus?
No.
You don't get a productivity bonus? That's bullshit.
No. I work on Polestar for the vast majority. I'm doing almost nothing but warranty. It's fucking impossible. But at the same time, I'm still so motivated.
Yeah, take the whole wire harness out.
Yeah, exactly. Been doing that a lot lately. But I am so driven. Like, I watch my hours like a hawk. Like, I set goals. I'm shooting for them. Like, I will fucking move mountains to try and get my numbers as high as I can. Because I love my job. I want to be good at my job. I want to show my management that I am valuable and that I get shit done. But also at the same time, I'm in a situation where my management has made it very clear, like, because sometimes I will come into my service manager's office and be like, I am so sorry. I tried so hard this week. I literally did everything I fucking could, but my hours are dog shit. And my manager will just be like, shut the fuck up. Like, I saw what you did this week. Like, you helped that person with that. You did this. You handled that. Like, there was no way around the fact that that job ended up taking 2 days. There was nothing else you could do. And you even fucking went around and picked all the fucking trash oil filters out of all the catchers, even though that's not your job. But you did it because the internet was down, so you couldn't do anything else. So while everyone else was on their phone, you did that. I saw it.
Hell yeah.
It is possible. It is possible. If employees love where they work, they feel safe investing more than just the bare minimum they can get away with in your workplace. Like, we will show up and do the things, and we will care. I don't understand. Especially with how high the demands are for service technicians these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you'd think that they would do, like, anything to keep you working for them. But turns out, like, they're just like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, we can just replace you with literally anyone and anything. We could replace you with AI now, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, I could just look up, you know, information and just do it myself. I can do that now.
Apparently not, though.
We don't need mechanics.
Because you have...
We don't need anything.
Jim Farley, who... I have had so much fun listening to his podcast and interviews that he does. He's a very interesting man. But things have gotten to the point where you have him going viral for speaking on television about the level of the technician shortage that dealerships are dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. You know, the criticisms that have been put out there are very valid. And unfortunately, like, there's only so much Jim Farley can do about that. These Ford dealerships are all their own independent, like, entities, essentially. So,
yeah.
Like, I know even at Galpin, like, we are desperately trying to find more master certified Ford technicians. We can't get enough of them. But I feel like we have a good excuse, like, more years than not, I think, since our Ford dealership's been in existence. It's been the highest volume Ford dealership in the country, if not the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking, that's awesome. I mean, I believe that.
Yeah.
Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor. Stealth Industries has partnered with me, Serrated Mobius, to bring you Speech and Flag Time patches. Now available over at stealthx.us. That's STEALTHX.US under the Serrated Mobius collection. Go get yours now. Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor.
It's pretty wild.
Can I do a tangent real quick?
Yes.
Let's fucking go. It's tradition.
So up in Bellingham, Washington, where I used to live, there is a dealership there called Deal Ford. And Deal Ford opened in 1906. And I think it was like the second or third Ford dealer in America.
Didn't we drive by that?
Yeah, I mentioned it. It's not Deal Ford anymore. It's Bellingham Ford now. But yeah, they redid the building in the 70s. And it's like so fucking cool. They have they literally have all of their old shit. Like you have I went in there a long time ago to get something from their service department, and they have like old manuals for old Ford still, like old manuals. Oh, yeah? Like cool old shit. Like, I mean, the fucking dealership's been open since the 1900s, so like, yeah, they probably early got some 1900s. New old stock parts there that are crazy. Anyway, I don't really,
well, shit, now I'm gonna have to ask what sort of weird old stuff we have lying around.
Bellingham Ford.
Galpin Ford's not that old, but we have been around for a while.
Hell yeah.
So,
it's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when it comes to like the technician shortage and stuff, I talked to my current shop foreman about like my performance, strictly numbers talking. And I talked to him about it. It's like, I haven't had a full paycheck in 10 months. I looked at him and said that like to his face. And like, why am I still here? Because if I was a salesperson and I had that kind of numbers, I would have been kicked out months ago. Like, what the hell is going on? And he looked at me and said, one, you're one of the best diagnostic technicians that we have in here. Whatever I diagnose, I fix, and it doesn't come back. Like, that's the main thing. Because there's a lot of techs where I'm at. I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but there's a lot of techs where I'm at. Well, they'll diagnose something, and then, like, 2 days later, it's back for the same problem.
They'll get a halfway answer, and they'll make an estimate based on that, and then they'll be like, oh, shit, that didn't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pay me more to do more diag, please.
Yes. But he said that what he said was he sees the potential that I have when I'm actually, you know, motivated and stuff like that. Because the main thing, like I said in the last episode, is that I'm sleep deprived to fuck. the stress of having a full-time job and also not a fault to you guys because this is entirely self-inflicted. This podcast,
we're part of the problem.
Yeah. like I said, this podcast is like completely my undertaking. I'm doing all the editing. I'm getting everybody together, and it's just I want to do it, but doing it alongside a full-time technician job is its own challenge.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's, you gotta be really good at time management, which I am not. So it's
ADHD has entered the chat.
But yes. You're good at fucking engagement management.
Oh snap!
Welcome to ring the ring club.
Oh, that engagement kind of thing.
But you're a mechanic,
okay,
so you never get to. You never get to actually wear your
you're
ring.
Talking about Instagram engagement.
No.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
I'm talking about girls.
So, for those who don't know, I got engaged last weekend. Yeah. So, I am.
Congratulations, buddy.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome to the gang.
What we did was it was really cool. I know you guys have seen the pictures. So. My fiance is really into hiking, and we decided to do this pretty strenuous hike up to the very top of this rocky overhang above Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. It's called.
So you're saying she had to say yes?
No, she didn't have to say yes at all. But
because of the implications,
just push. No.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm a bad person. I watch too much It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's hilarious. But no.
Please continue.
It was a beautiful like overlook of Harper's Ferry. And thank goodness, because I was really worried that there was going to be a lot of people up there because it's a really like common like tourist attraction. A lot of hikers go up there to see it and all that kind of stuff. But when we went up there, there was no one there. Like not a single person. And I was like, oh, this is the time right here. Got to do it right now.
like, hey,
was it nerve wracking? Like, did your heart do the thing or did you start sweating or anything?
No, not really. Because like, she's been bugging me about this kind of thing for like, over 2 years. Yeah, so it's
you fucking idiot.
It's kind of, we already knew what the answer was going to be. I just had to do the pomp and circumstance. So
yeah, there's like a point when you're like with someone for so long that like my dad had a friend who literally him and like they were girlfriend boyfriend for like 40 years.
Oh,
and they
gosh.
Never got married.
Whoa.
And they were literally like, do you want to just get married like this weekend or something to like get a tax? Like they like we were going to do our taxes joint instead of single. Because it's apparently a little better or something. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, we've
but I don't know. That's funny.
Longtime
my
listeners.
My taxes got way worse, by the way.
Oh.
Way worse.
I don't know. Like longtime flag time listeners probably know this, but like I've been dating my fiance since 2018. And we've known each other since 2010. So it's been we've known each other a very long time and we've been dating for a very long time as boyfriend and girlfriend. So it was
so
about
you've been
time
procrastinating is what you said.
I've been broke is what I've been. So it's
broke and procrastinating.
Yes. But yeah,
procrastination,
a really, whoa,
that escalated
thing.
Quickly.
Yes. But what was really cool, a little anecdote about this is I was going to bring this up to film it.
Camera.
And like the whole thing was it has a photo button and a timer on it. And I was just going to use that as the excuse that like this takes pretty good photos. Like I did a post for the flag time thing where it was just nothing but photos from this specifically. And I told my shop foreman at my dealership that I was going to do that. And he was like, no, you're not. And he goes over to his backpack and he just got back from a trip to Germany. Like a 2 week trip to Germany. He pulls out his backpack and gives me his GoPro 15 with a fold out tripod.
Yo, and, I don't even know they had the 15 yet.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know if that's the correct number. I just, that's what I remember.
I have a 7.
Yeah, I have
it
an
still
eight.
Works.
I have an 8. But yeah, no, he let me borrow that for the weekend. And that's where that picture on my Instagram of the GoPro is from. So
yeah,
I thought that was really cool that my shop foreman let me do that. Let me use it.
Hell yeah. You're like, no, you're not. As in, like, you're not. Yeah, it's like, you actually have to work that day.
Yeah.
We need you to work a double shift, actually.
Oh, yeah, no, that wasn't
for one appointment.
For one appointment. Oh, yeah.
Seriously, though.
We're going to delay your hours.
Yeah. Thank you, JJ.
But, yeah. That's fucking sick. And, like, I'm so excited for you, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we already have a date for the wedding. So,
when is it?
It's a date.
Yeah, October 17th, 2026. So
fuck yeah. That's one thing I love is that I've noticed that both out of my husband's friends and my friends, for some reason, almost everyone always gets married in October, which
it's
I
really
think is
nice
awesome
time.
Because yeah. I feel like it usually frees me up from having to decide what I'm doing for birthday shenanigans. Be like, whatever, we're traveling to somewhere. It's fine.
We're going somewhere in October,
we're doing that.
I think, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, there's already travel baked into the month. English. Still can't do it.
Well, I mean, you smell, but not bad, I guess. There you go.
I'm gonna start the podcast back up right when you say that. We're not gonna know.
I still forget to put on deodorant on a regular basis. And
oh, same.
Anyway, so I'm balls deep in my uncle's ass, right?
With my fish and my wife and my dog, and the truck. All
oh my god! I was at a game night with a bunch of my. Fiance's with a bunch of our friends, really. It's fiance's friends from her work, and we were all playing board games. We were playing this board game with a bunch of like fish, and like if you have a certain color fish, you have to tell the truth. Everybody else has to tell a lie. And when they were passing out the fish, I was like, "Give me the fimpsh, give me the fimpsh." And somebody on the other side of the room was like, "Did you say fimpsh?" I'm like, "It's a long story."
You're not my supervisor.
You don't understand my lingo.
How dare you insult my culture?
Yes. But yeah, that was a cool
the
thing going on.
Stupidity.
I finally got my master certification physical awards. I don't know if I
mentioned
that.
Yeah.
I know I got the plaque. I think I mentioned that on the podcast already.
You got the class ring.
The ring finally showed up. Yeah.
It's so silly that you get a ring.
I know.
Like,
everybody
it's a fucking,
was like
WWE
what the
award.
Fuck? Yeah. I had people say you won the Mercedes Super Bowl. I had people say that that was fucking cool. And I also had people say that is fucking ridiculous.
It's fucking goofy.
Goofy, yes.
I don't know.
But,
I think it's fucking cool because fucking Polestar can't even be bothered to like send you any sort of documentation of your certifications.
Oh,
no, just like you got a certification.
Sort of swag. Like I've had people ask me, be like, "Hey, can you get me any sort of like Polestar swag? Like I have Volvo stuff." But I was like, "Dude, I've never even gotten a T-shirt from these motherfuckers. I have exactly one coffee mug that they've given me, and that's the full extent of it. 2 years. That's all I've got."
I want to like I like have you ever see like you ever follow anyone that gets like PR packages from like someone or anything and you're just like I want that.
I have gotten very very few, but I have a couple.
Did you see?
It feels amazing.
Hell yeah. But did you see what happened with fucking Airplane Facts with Max?
Did he die?
No, the guitarist of Coldplay invited him and his kids to a fucking concert.
Yo.
Hell yeah, he should do the joke.
He fucking better.
They better they better be like, "Whoa."
He already posted it on his stories like a couple days ago, but like
that's
he filmed his kids having like an awesome time at the Coldplay concert. So,
oh, that's so cool.
That's insane.
Yeah. I love that guy. I hope he's doing okay.
Oh yeah, he's doing just fine.
Good. So, hell
we
yeah.
We keep in touch every once in a while.
I bug him every once in a while. I messaged him about like being worried about planes and the government's open again, but like I don't know. I just saw that fucking that UPS plane crash, and I've seen so many just crazy thing about planes and crashing and airports and airplane mechanics, and I was like, hey man, are you good?
Dude, have either of you watched season 2 of The Rehearsal on HBO?
The Rehearsal? No.
I turned off a lot of my subscription services.
Totally fair. See if you can bootleg it somehow, because season 2, it's Nathan, the guy from Nathan For You, if you're familiar.
Mm-hmm. That sounds familiar.
Seeing facial expressions of recognition. Anyways, Nathan is a very awkward, very dry comedian who does things that are basically designed to be funny by way of making everyone else uncomfortable.
So like The Office.
And yes.
Oh,
which normally
this guy.
I can't do that kind of comedy. But season 2 of The Rehearsal. So Nathan is a massive aerospace nerd. Mm-hmm. Okay. Massive. I swear this ties into the conversation. he had developed a theory that from everything that he researched and looked into, that a inordinate, I'm not even going to try and use that big word I was about to pronounce, an alarming amount of airplane accidents were caused by issues of communication and ego in the cockpit between the pilot and the co-pilot. And this fucking comedian went so far as to spend his own money and probably a year or two of his life legitimately getting a commercial pilot's license to the point where he was fully certified to fly full-size jet aircraft.
Hell yeah.
And legitimately got a job flying airplanes.
Wow.
Like Boeing 737s.
Right, yeah.
Like,
he got a job doing that. The big ones. Not passenger planes, but still.
He could fly a commercial size jet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe his job that he got was he was one of the people that if they just need a plane moved from point A to point B, they're the guys. Anyways.
Plane mover guy.
So he did that, and he did this show called The Rehearsal, where he basically painstakingly creates scenarios to rehearse various things. So they like built an entire fake wing of an airport that looks completely legit. They created a completely fake singing competition that was judged by airline pilots because he decided this would be a good way to look at how pilots may or may not have difficulty being honest with criticism for people, because you would have to watch someone just have the guts to get in front of you and sing a song, and you have to tell them they're not good enough. Like, can pilots do that? Do they have those skills? Because sometimes you might need to be able to be a co-pilot and tell the pilot, I'm taking over because you're going to get us killed. But in a lot of cases, you listen to the black box and the co-pilot didn't do that. Deferred to the pilot, much to the demise of hundreds of people sometimes. It is an incredible show. Like, the amount of effort he put into it.
Rehearsal.
And it's also incredible because of the absolute seriousness and legitimacy of the subject matter and his theory. And it's still fucking hilarious. It's still funny. There are still callbacks that he manages to make throughout the whole thing that will blow your fucking mind. Like, at one point, he creates a rehearsal whereby he can become Sully Sullenberger. Remember the Miracle on the Hudson?
Yep.
The pilot that managed to land the plane on the Hudson.
I remember that.
Yeah. So he manages to be fucking hilarious, intensely devoted, passionately nerdy, possibly diagnosed as autistic during the course of the show, like on camera, kind of, sort of, almost. And fucking, it's just hilarious and amazing. And I desperately want to know how much it cost HBO because there was, he literally ended up buying a plane. He bought a 737, a used one.
That's crazy.
But he bought one.
And those are expensive, so he probably made at least $5.
Yeah. He bought it, and he legitimately flew it with a full plane of actors being passengers for a rehearsal.
Wow.
Just to make just a to proper it. Example. Could you imagine just how much like, HBO right. had to... Yeah. HBO had to insure that flight.
That's crazy.
The cost of that alone, but
I can't even
think
of how much that would
be. Yeah, so I totally get your let's not do streaming services thing, but support original awesome boundary pushing fucking television. Go watch the rehearsal season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really know how we haven't gotten to a point where we can just post our own content on like our own social media platforms that aren't affected by crazy shit like greed or billionaires or other things. But
here's the thing.
If anyone can, that'd be cool.
That's the thing. A group of people already have. It's the guys who do Unsubscribe.
Mm-hmm.
So the Unsubscribe podcast, they made their own video sharing website called Pepperbox.
Pepperbox.
There's also Nebula, which is a
Nebula. I've heard of Nebula, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's also a creator-owned, operated, like, media cooperative. Mm-hmm. Lots of cool shit on there.
Pepper?
Yeah, I think it's like pepperbox.tv, I think.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Pepperbox TV.
It's a lot of GunTuber stuff, just letting you know, but... That's why they have their own separate video sharing program, because YouTube does not like gun videos.
Dude, like at the all. YouTube stuff
they literally
is
have
so
guns in their
point.
Logo.
Yeah.
Is it just guns?
It's primarily guns.
I mean, that makes sense because you're more likely to get fans interested in investing in something like that if there's more content than meets their interests.
Yeah, but I mean, I just great, like, this is just the front page and it's just all guns.
It's majority like gun stuff.
Some people like gun stuff.
But that fits your, it fits your cool definition of like people going out and creating their own video sharing website, which they have. So
who knows, Sterling, perhaps you yourself will one day be like the automotive guy on Nebula. And like you'll end up like doing video collabs with fucking.
I was gonna say, watch you start your own video sharing website.
So
I found this fucking. There's a it's like an Instagram alternative. It's called Upscrolled.
It's
I've heard of this.
It was created by a Palestinian guy.
Okay.
And I mean, it looks just like Instagram. I mean, it kind of just works the same. And you know, there's nobody posting car content on there right now. So I may corner the market on that app.
Go for it.
Do it.
Do it. Also, something I discovered you can do is you have the ability to download every single piece of content you've ever posted on Instagram and Snapchat. So I have spent last 2-3 weeks downloading and organizing all my Snapchat clips and my Instagram content. Also, if you have a piece of content on Instagram that got muted and you go and download your content, it won't be muted. So you can go get it and repost it if you want.
Do you have to do that on desktop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is a ridiculous thing. You literally have to like go into like Meta's folders and you have to request a data export. And you just like... You kind of have to sort through everything too. It sucks. Like they designed to be a piece of shit, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My own my personal Instagram has been threatened with deletion multiple times.
What?
Yeah. It's a weird thing about being female on the internet sometimes. I've definitely downloaded the whole thing a couple of times over the years out of fear that it was going to just we have gone a long ways from starting with how we would change the automotive industry.
Yeah, well, we kind of did need to do the, you know, small talk section. That's kind of a traditional thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean,
it was just out of order this episode.
we'll put it all back together.
More work for Eric. Yeah. Fix it in post.
Well, luckily, I don't have anywhere to go this weekend. I don't have anywhere to go this coming weekend because my mom and my sister are coming up north to visit me for Thanksgiving. So I don't have to travel.
I need to go help with the mad dash of cleaning prior to the mother-in-law's arrival at some point. Mm-hmm.
The timer says we have 27 minutes left to hit an hour. So
27.
We can fit 27 minutes of discussion of how
let's fix the fucking industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a suggestion. Instead of flat rate, why don't we have it so we keep the hour like making system in place, but we pay people hourly and give them a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me out. This might be a little hard to hear for some of you corporate types. A production bonus based off of hours. And if you hit like 40, this is going to sound ridiculous because this is what I was told my pay plan was going to be at the last shop that I worked at. And it sounded great on paper, right? Until I learned a bunch of things, but we'll get to that in a second. The pay system that we had at the last shop that I worked at was there was a, you know, you were paid an hourly rate and then you were given a bonus. Bonus means additional.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A bonus based off of production that you get. So if you got 40 hours and the bonus started at 30 hours instead of 40. Mm-hmm. So if you made 30 flat rate hours, you would get a $5 an hour per hour bonus. Mm. So if you got, you know, a 30 hour paycheck, but you got paid for your hourly rate for your week. So you got paid for the time that you were there. Because you know, sometimes work doesn't necessarily take the normal amount of time. Anyway, so maybe that. Maybe if you hit 50 hours, you get $10 an hour per hour. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You make 80 hours, you get $20 an hour bonus per hour. Because, and here's the crazy part, right? So you know how shop fees and shop rates are like $200, $300 an hour sometimes? Sometimes yes. They're lower than 200. Sometimes they're more than 400. Depends on where you are. Maybe we could have it so the technicians who are actually doing the work and the service writers that are actually selling the work, you know, they get bonuses based off of, you know, their commissions and hours sold. Mm-hmm. So what if, and this is crazy, right? But what if we just gave people the money that they earn?
Right?
Like, what if we just make it so there's no competition and no one gets mad at each other? So it'd be like, hey, if you make 50 hours this week, not only will you get the paid for the time that you were here, you will then, you know, make 50 hours and make a bunch more money and like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? If nothing came in this week or you spent, you know, a bunch of time on Diag, then, you know, that's fine. That's put in there. Like, you get paid for that. Here's my problem with that specific pay structure that I just described at the place that I was working at that was my pay system is we didn't get paid for diags and we didn't get paid for oil changes. We didn't get paid for inspections. We didn't get paid for test drives. We didn't get paid for really anything that was like that like those were the flat rate things that, you know, all those little things add up. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, you don't get paid for doing test drives and you don't really get paid that much for oil changes. But, you know, you do 10 oil changes in a day. Each one of those oil changes is 0.5 or 0.4 or 0.3 or something. All that time adds up. You do 5 in a day, it adds up. You do 2 hours of diag in a day, that adds up. You do an hour of diag there, an hour of diag there. And like that place I worked at, I mean, fuck, I'd do hours of diag. And like,
I have a car where I have like 22 hours of diag logged so far. Mm-hmm. We're still working on the car.
And you're like, yeah, well, on top of that, I wasn't getting paid for diag. And well, on top of not being paid for doing diag, I was also told that I was milking it and not doing it right. Like, I'm trying to find, I'll give you a specific example of a car that I remember. And it was a car that influenced my decision on leaving. It was a 04, 03 Tacoma. Mm. And it was towed in because it was dying. It was hard. No, it wasn't dying. It was hard starting sometimes. And it was setting a check engine light sometimes. So we were like, all right, well, maybe we can get some information off of the codes. So fine, go into the codes, setting cam position sensor codes. You know, do a little bit of research, find out that the cam sensor code literally will produce the exact same symptom that the car's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So be like, okay, to confirm that this part is bad, I need to look at it on a data stream. I need to go take it on a test drive. You know, oh, I can't see it on a data stream. Maybe I can take my scope module and like actually scope the sensor and see like what the actual waveform is doing. And with something that's setting a code, be like, yeah, you know, the part is probably bad, but you know, there's a high chance that there's a wire that's rubbing against something somewhere in the harness. There might be a break. There could be magnetic interference. There could be shielding missing somewhere. There could be anything, you know, fuck. Like sensors are like, car diagnostics is not like, I mean, everyone that like, what do you mean like you gotta charge me for diag? Like some people fucking freak out when you like tell them they're gonna get charged for diag. So the place I worked at didn't even fucking charge for diag. They just like, we just avoid the conversation entirely by not even charging for them. They're charging them for diag.
You're just fucking like, well,
where do you make
employees.
Any of your money?
Yeah.
Charge people.
They don't make any of their money because they don't even fucking pay the person that does it.
Ridiculous.
So I literally like made up bullshit and then I quit. I was literally like, I'm not even gonna give you an oh, hey, maybe you can just do this, and oh, maybe you could do that and that and that and that and this. And I'm like, I'm gonna actually make up a false situation and use that as an excuse to leave. And that's exactly what I did. And I'm not even gonna mention what it is. So I didn't lie. I didn't throw anyone under the bus.
Like that's part of why so many consumers have such a negative perception of service and mechanics and technicians. Because there are these places that are like, all right, well, fine. We just won't actually diag. We'll just assume that that's the problem.
Right, we'll just guess.
And tell you, all right, we're going to replace this sensor to start. And then before you know it, you've replaced like an entire fucking system in your car without actually solving the issue. And then you have like dealerships and what have you that for some reason don't seem to care about comebacks, which boggles my fucking mind. Like, how does that not count? Like,
I don't understand the value
of getting it fixed the first time and that customer like wanting to come back and you not wasting more of their time and all of this. Like,
I didn't finish what I was saying about it, as I forgot and I was mentioning something else, but
I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. I literally just like forget when I'm talking. I do this thing when I just forget what I'm talking about, like literally while I'm talking about it. Like I'll talk and I'll look at something and then I'll just be like submarine. Boomerang.
Oh, he's a bug. Waterball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dogs.
My brain will be a million miles ahead of my fucking mouth, mm-hmm. and next thing
ass
I know,
person.
It's not. Yeah. Ass person.
Anyway, that truck, that fucking Toyota that I was working on. Mm-hmm. I scoped the sensor. I was like, all right, we got a wacky waveform going on here. Like, it was like all over. It was like there was no consistency in any of the, like, anywhere on the graph. It was like everywhere. So I was like, okay, took a little bit closer look at the wiring. It's a cam sensor. Cam sensors often have shielding around them so they don't get magnetic interference from another sensor that's nearby, because most sensors are just magnets, really. Hall effect
they
sensors.
Put a, like, off-the-shelf aftermarket, non-OEM something in there?
No, it was a Toyota with 200-something thousand miles on it. It had all the original shit on it still. So I scoped the sensor. I saw the waveform was garbage, and it was higher resistance than an OEM one. So I looked up a table of what the resistance should be. Resistance of the one in the car was double. So I was like, all right, this is a good place to start. Don't get a fucking O'Reilly's one, or I'm going to stab you in the head with it. So don't fucking...
Perfectly rational.
stab you in the head with a sensor.
I mean, a crank sensor. You could. In a Toyota? You could fucking...
I don't know, jam it into someone's
forehead, probably. Anyway.
They just have, like, Denso indented in their forehead after that, you know?
Denso. Every fucking thing I was met with there, like, I was like, I want an OEM crank sensor for this Toyota, because, like, a standard one is going to be garbage, and then, like, they sell the Diag, and I get a fucking standard sensor. I open the box, and there's a goddamn used sensor in the box. I'm like, there is literally a used crank sensor in this box. Now you have to call the customer and fucking tell them that you ordered the wrong part, or they shipped us the wrong shit. Now we look like idiots just because you didn't take my fucking advice. Literally, the OEM one was the same price, and it was in stock at our local Toyota dealership that was closer than the parts store. But I'm an idiot and I don't fucking know anything, right? But put the sensor in, get the right new one, standard, still a standard aftermarket one. Standard is a brand, for those of you that don't know.
Oh, okay.
This cheap, shitty O'Reilly's brand. No offense to Standard, but you make some shitty parts, not gonna lie. Make your shit better and I won't make fun of it. I don't know. Fuck. It's really easy.
I mean, it's a good point.
Yeah. Put that crank sensor in. The waveform, it's doing the same thing. It's still hard starting. And, like, this isn't an inspection or anything. Like, I didn't look at this fucking car. I was just like, hey, just go do this check engine light diag real quick. They're saying it's not starting sometimes. It'll, like, just crank and it'll crank and it'll sound like that it has, like, a dead battery. It'll be like, and it'll sound consistent in the cranking, and then it, like, would sound like that the it was just, like, sloping, like the battery was, like, cutting off. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm looking at these sensor data streams, and, like, now that the crank sensor is at its, like, right waveform, I did research. It's a Toyota 3.4. So it's like a motor that, like, the cam and crank phase have to be in phase or the engine won't run. Like, it has to be that. They have to communicate with each other. So, like, once the cam sensor sees a revolution of the camshaft, in addition to the crankshaft, it'll turn the fuel. It'll, like, fire the fuel pump and it will, you know, make the motor run. Yeah, like normal, right? I'm finding out all these things. I was still, like, kind of skeptical about the crank sensor and the cam sensor. That Diag was taken away from me because I didn't do it fast enough. And they replaced the starter, the battery, the cables to the battery and the starter, and the ignition switch, and it didn't fix anything. And I was like, great. Good job, guys. Oh, and they put a fuel pump in it, too. Like, literally, like, whose money is paying for this?
So
like,
they shotgun everything.
I was literally, like, using a oscilloscope and, like, I was doing the diag. You could have just let me continue. I would have found it eventually.
Yeah.
And, my and you know what? The, you what sent the problem, to the fucking manager's office. Like, what the
problem ended up being literally, like, a loose ground on the back of the motor.
There, like, it is.
I'm like, I could have, I would have found that. Like,
eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
It was setting a crank sensor code. Have, so yeah. I went after that first.
You still have
first.
The resistance issues after that. There's when still you eliminate a problem. The sensor being a problem, that's what you do. You start going, all right, where's my ground? Where's the easiest parts to eliminate first is fucking wiring problem. What the fuck? And again, yeah, and these are the same guys. We're right back to the guys who will avoid electrical and diagnosis like the plague.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I'm like, I want to go out of my way to learn how to do this, so when I'm faced with this situation again, I can overcome it.
Exactly.
Literally, just like, I don't know, I guess I was instilled with good values and morals as a child, and I have the ability to be like, oh yeah, well, you know, some things suck, but if we work at it, and we improve it, and we tell other people how we improve our own lives, maybe we can, you know, change some bad, shitty things that everyone's always complaining about. I don't know. Just an idea. Sometimes
100 fucking percent.
It might be a good idea, but I don't
know. Absolutely.
We are all individuals.
Yeah. But I just, I don't get it. Like, that's literally that person, that poor customer, is now out there complaining about how mechanics are idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, what am I supposed to do, cat?
Yeah, there's a lot of cat happening.
Yeah.
Cat.
I still have that video saved.
Now, this is
oh, sorry.
Hell yeah. this is part of why I get really frustrated with the prevailing attitude you encounter, bless you, sometimes of the customers are all just fucking idiots and rubes and what have you. Like,
these are
people. I mean, yes, we do get those customers. Everyone in every industry ever gets those customers. But by and large, we are encountering people who are coming to us because they're just trying to live their lives. They don't understand how cargo vroom, and they don't want to. They just want to be able to go to work and get home and go the fuck to bed because life is hard. And so they're coming to us. Yeah. And like, it, I feel like that deserves a little more respect. Like, people are dependent on us. And so would it really be that hard to fucking give the man $30 to fucking figure out that it's the ground, instead of like, that customer probably had to get a fucking rental car for all that time while parts were just getting thrown at
it
their
was
fucking car.
Like, you know,
so
you know,
it's
so funny. When I quit, right? And then I like had to return my uniforms like a couple weeks later. I forgot about it. I went back like 3 weeks later. The truck was back and it was there. And I was like, what's up with the Toyota now? And they're like, oh, it's got like piston slap or something. I don't know. It's still It's still got this weird rough running issue. Like, did it ever like die on you? Or did you ever like, did it ever like hard start for you? And I'm like, you know what, man? I'm literally just not even going to engage.
No more
free labor.
That's
the reason it was brought to the shop originally. And if you had just given me the fucking diag and didn't take it away from me and then call me slow and inefficient, I probably would still be working there. But I was told that I was a problem when I fucking wasn't. And I'm like, I have a pretty big, good sense of humility. Like, I know when I'm overstepping. I know when, like, you know, I'm not going to 100% always be like doing everything right 100% of the time. There's some shitty things that I've done and there's some things that I would have wanted to correct. But in general, I have a feeling that I know what I'm generally doing. And Yeah, it's just,
yeah,
it's hard to be a person and like, yes, want to go to work and like being like, well, I know that I can do a good job, and I'm really not trying to let other people's opinion or perspective of me try to get me down. But, you know, man, it just fucking really doesn't work sometimes. And it's just like, yeah, like, why are some people just so shitty? Like, I don't want to fucking live my life every second of every day thinking that everyone is bad. Like, of course not everyone's bad, but Jesus, like,
it's
when...
It's- Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah.
That's part of why I try and lean into the like radical empathy,
yes,
realm of things, because I refuse to believe that so many people are just shitty or bad.
Yeah.
Like, I try and understand the whys and the hows and just hold fast to the belief that people can and do change. And while it's rare, it happens. Like, it does happen. Like, so, if, fuck it. I'm going to be tolerant and I'm going to be nice even when they're not. On the off chance that someday something clicks and that person goes, oh, fuck me, I was the asshole. And, you know... Every once in a while, I do get that like Facebook message or that text or that phone call of someone being like, I am so sorry for that person that I was 10 years ago or 15 years ago or what have you. And I have been that person sending that text message or that Facebook message being like, hey, I just need you to know that I am so sorry. I don't need you to acknowledge or accept this whatsoever, but I have gotten older and wiser and grown, and at some point it clicked, and I realized that I was a fucking dick, and I made your life harder, and I am sorry. So, yeah.
Always good to recognize moments like that, because, I mean, you know, we're not going to fucking do everything perfectly every single time we do anything, but if we at least, you know, maybe... later down the line, or, you know, just thinking back on things and being like, that wasn't great. If you even having that thought alone, I think is a good step, because that alone shows that you have, what's it called?
Self-awareness.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. Like, you have the ability to be like, yeah, this thing that I recognize as bad behavior is bad.
Yes.
And, like, Jesus, man, like, I fucking, like, think back of, like, how I was in middle school, and just being like, you know, you fucking remember how you are in middle school as, like, just a kid growing up in America, and just being, like, surrounded by people that are shitty, and just, like, you kind of just parrot them, and it only, you have to... you have the ability to separate yourself from that as well, and I, like... I'm not being specific or anything. I'm just like saying, as a child, I would be like kind of shitty.
Yeah.
But like, I think that being able to recognize that you're being shitty later in life and having the ability to be like, you know, that was a really bad thing that I did, or that was a really like, I shouldn't have said that, or maybe that made that person uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm not even realizing that until now. And I, you know, apologize for it, or like try to be a better person and recognize bad behavior in the future. But like,
it's a valuable skill, but it is legitimately hard to learn how to just be like, I was 100% incorrect.
Yeah. That's the point wrong.
I fucked up. Like it's not
accountability.
Easy.
That's the word.
There we go. And I feel like this all would be a really great lesson for dealership owners across the country. I'm looking at you. There's still time to solve the technician shortage.
Yes.
And to maybe be that standout employer in the area that goes, all right, fine. You know what? we're just going to try something different and let's do this model instead. And let's see if we can all make money and feed our families and be a little less stressed out. I no longer have to wonder where I'm going to get, where
you
I'm going to get enough
your
technicians.
Family?
Yeah. Okay.
You're a piece of shit.
So unreasonable, right?
Fuck you.
Wow. Weird. It's not like, you know, what, less than 100 years ago, you could totally buy a house and have four kids and raise an entire family on one income.
Fucking 100 years ago is literally like 20 fucking years ago.
Not 20 years ago. My goal isn't even to be ever like fucking be a homeowner. I just want to be able to afford an apartment in a building with a pool.
Yeah,
that's my goal.
I
want to
live. Yeah, just in a house, in a building, anywhere.
The house that I grew up in, I looked on Zillow. My parents bought it for $103,000 in 1993. It's worth $275,000 now.
I'll do you one better.
You can't even get a closet for that amount of money in Los Angeles.
I want to show you something.
Well, this is suburban North Carolina next to
but still, a military that is still base. Like it more than doubled in price. It almost tripled. In one generation.
Yeah. But what I was going to say like before house. Is like being shitty is easy. Being a shitty person is easy to do. It doesn't take any effort. It's like a knee-jerk reaction to anything. So that's why a lot of people do it, because they don't want to put in the effort to be a mature person. Maturity takes effort. And like
effort that, hard.
Yeah, effort hard. Fuck you.
Yeah. being mature is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's so
you know
hard.
What? Being a piece of shit is hard in the long term.
In the
so
long
maybe,
term,
yes.
It's easy in the moment. But
man, I had some like firmly held beliefs when I was younger. Like I 100% had zero doubt that I was right about various things. Like I felt so certain that I understood and I was correct. And I was fucking not.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's not easy to backtrack on things that you have put forward with that much certainty and that you have basically built parts of your life around or upon or what have you. And again, I'm going to bring it on back to fucking the automotive industry. Like, I understand, like, it will be very, very difficult to abandon something that has been done for generations and be like, okay, well, let's try a different business model when it comes to our service center. I get it. Scary. You may be thinking like, what if we try this and it all goes to hell? But what if it goes right? What if you
what if it's
like
really great
the
and
top dealership in your whole fucking area? What if you start giving Galpin Ford a little competition because you also can repair bazillions of Fords because you have become the employer that attracts all the best master Ford techs in your entire state? Why not? Give it a shot.
That would require some human kindness.
Right.
And that's gay.
I don't know about you guys, being able to pay my bills motivates me more than having to work to survive. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of a different level there, because like having enough money to live at a place and comfortably pay everything, have food on the table, all that kind of stuff. That's way more motivating than having to work to just barely scrape by. It's 444.
Angel numbers.
Hell
time
yeah.
Isn't real.
What isn't real?
Time. Or
time.
Birds.
Time.
Time isn't real.
Social
birds aren't real.
What about humans?
Everything's a social construct.
And so is religion.
Here, let me.
Let's throw in Plato's allegory of the cave and just
we're
really
end,
fuck everything up.
We're
going to
end this. We're going to end this episode of Flag Time on this note. everything ever is made up.
I guarantee this is the first automotive service podcast, whether it's actually about automotive service or not, where someone has brought up Plato's Allegory of the Cave.
Probably.
I'm a fucking weirdo.
Probably. Mechanics don't even know Plato is.
Yeah. And then there's this motherfucker just fucking up the whole thing.
She's a mechanic
and
she knows.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that's true.
But I also studied Aristotelian ethics and Latin in college the first time I went to college.
Education is cool.
Hell yeah. But yeah, everything's made up.
Fuck.
The lines on the road are imaginary. Like, they don't mean anything. The only reason why they mean something is because people in power have said that it means something. And those people in power can give you consequences for not obeying those made up rules.
It's like the turn signals you don't use.
Well, I mean, they kind of like, I think lane lines are like a good.
No, they're a good thing, but they're made the fuck up.
Like, I mean, like, I've...
Yeah. We,
have you ever been driving
we are the
at
ones
night?
That imbue yes. them with meaning.
You ever been driving at night and you see, like, headlights, like, oncoming, and you're like...
Are they in my lane?
Is that in my lane? And then you're like, oh! Whoops! That happened to me last night.
Oh my god, dude.
Because that person failed to give meaning to the lane.
Are you stopping?
Actually, we're going to end the episode on this anecdote because you made me remind me of this. So the pay structure at my dealership, if you are there for less than 40 hours, they actually dock your pay 50 cents. Like
what?
Your hourly rate. Yeah. So if you're not there for a certain amount of time,
whole building down. Fuck.
Yeah. If you're not there for a certain amount of time, they take 50 cents off of your hourly rate, which is fucking insane, stupid. But I had to stay a little bit every day this week because I had a doctor's appointment on last Thursday. So I was already going to be out a few hours. So I had to make that up by staying longer and all that kind of stuff. But it made it. We're going back to the thing that you made me rhyme it, made me think of it.
Made me think me
words.
Words are hard.
Word.
So in between where I live and where my dealership is a highway. And that highway is called I-270. And on Friday night, somebody was going, they were being chased by the police high speed down the opposite lane of traffic. So they were going head on into oncoming lanes.
Boy.
Southbound on the northbound lanes, which if I left work on time, I would have been caught up in that actually. But so they ended up stopping at this exit that's one exit up from where my dealership is, and there was like a standoff with SWAT. I don't know how that happened. There wasn't really any details on it.
Yike.
But it closed down both northbound and southbound lanes of I-270. And I was stuck because like everybody was being redirected on side roads, and then there were accidents on those side roads. So nobody was moving. It's Maryland. And so I was like, I'm just going to stay at work. And I stayed at work until 7, and I made back up those hours because there was a SWAT standoff on the highway to go home. So that's what has to happen for
Hell
me
yeah.
to make up my time at my goddamn capitalist car job. And anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of the Flag Time Podcast.
Fuck. If anyone needs a job and you actually are in California or you want to come move, let me know.
Yeah.
I'll get you an interview.
Hell yeah. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Get Flag Time Podcast. If you want to watch the video version of this episode, I got to read names. Let me do that real quick. Patreon.com/Flag Time Podcast is where you can see the video version of this episode. And we want to thank our premium members who have stuck with us and thank them for their insane generosity. Rogue One, Forced User, Ashton Green, Sports Cars of Suma, Spencer Delfo, Luna Cat Eye, MacDonald Borger, Devin Newby, Vubula, Ansel Fuji, Mopar 1966, Kyle Olson 25, Eli Hip, Mississippi King, JJ the Tech, Hal, Moderately Cool Guy, Sushi Sausage, Elysium Darkness, Police 428, Jellied Raven, Nick Toomey, John Montague, 1996 Honda Civic, Chrysler Connection, Horsepower Geek, The Big Maple, Meep But in Japanese, Polyester 69, Nathan, Big Blue Caddy, 2004 Volkswagen Polo, Dog Milk 53, Stirworks, Yeller Jeep TJ, Canute Joel 0319, Sassiest Spoon 696,969, Refamous, Ben Bikes for Beer, and David Myers. Thank you so much for your generous contributions to this dumbass show. Okay, we're back. And we just gotta just go to the Flag Time Podcast Patreon to see the videos. Go to our Instagram, follow us for updates. And yeah, we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Go watch me cry. Everything's in the bonus
fixed
episode.
Now, right? Everything's fixed.
Let's hope.
We fixed the industry. We did it. Oh, fuck.